Right now, we've got Gene Bolduc, host of the Weekend Water Cooler here on WCHL, to talk about rhetoric, right, today?
Yes. Yeah. First of all, rhetoric.
Yeah. Can we go back a second? Because the CBS News report was about Donald Trump going to a rally and talking about how we're going to build a wall.
Yeah, he went to the NRA rally.
Yeah, the NRA. Oh, that's right.
The NRA
yeah.
meeting. Yeah, sorry to tell you that I watched a good part of that.
Oh, good Lord.
So,
yeah.
You know.
I will say someone said, and I think this is insanely clever, and I think he absolutely should do it, because his supporters, a significant percentage of his supporters, will go along with and believe whatever he says,
that's
regardless
right.
of whether there's any evidence to back it up. So
that's
he
right.
should just say he built it. He really should.
You know, I think you ought to just go. There is a border fence.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to break the news to the president,
yeah.
but there actually is a pretty significant border fence
yeah.
in some locations.
In some locations,
I think
yeah.
you ought to just go there and say you're welcome.
There, yeah, he
yeah,
could do
okay.
that too.
Just
you
know, remember the mission accomplished banner?
Oh,
they probably
yeah,
still
yeah.
have that at the
yeah,
White House.
That didn't work out too
one.
Well
they
for Bush, though.
One.
Is the
I
problem.
Know, but they could get a new one that just says "You're welcome, America."
I
signed
suspect,
Mexico.
I have a suspicion that I mean Trump is really one of his primary concerns is whether or not his supporters love him, and the problem with getting things accomplished is that you then have to own that thing. So and
right.
Republicans are having this issue right now with healthcare. We talked with Tom Jensen yesterday, and he said continued polling is showing this Republican healthcare plan is not only unpopular, but is actually getting more unpopular, and the Affordable Care Act is actually getting more popular.
Right.
So if they're actually able, you know, Trump runs on repeal and replace, but if they actually do repeal and replace, then Republicans are going to be saddled with that, just like Democrats were saddled with the ACA back in 2010 before it was popular. I think Trump's best case scenario is not to pass that, and then he can go in front of his crowds at his rallies and say, well, I would have been able to do all of these things
now,
if not for these bad Republicans and these bad Democrats getting in
Aaron,
my way.
I've warned you 1,000 times about having selective memory, and you know, I remember the parts of the Trump campaign that I want to remember.
Mm.
And those parts are the parts where he said, we're going to cover everybody.
Yes.
It's going to be so much cheaper. And I heard that the first 100 times that I heard that, I turned to my husband every time and I said, great news, single payer.
Right.
This is the guy who can do it.
Yeah. But,
you know, and it is an incredible irony that he actually could do that.
Yeah.
Because he could hypothetically, first of all, he could hypothetically develop political skills, which would be, you know, a little miracle all its
yeah.
own. But, you know, there's a lot of...
He's got some political skills. He did get elected president, so he's
well,
got some political
yeah,
skills. Yeah,
well, he didn't, you know... Anyway, so, yeah, he did. Okay, so, okay. But the fact is, he would get so many Democrats on board if he were to attempt that,
yeah.
That it would be quite flummoxing for the GOP. And this, in my opinion, has always been an interesting angle of possibility, because I don't think he cares about flummoxing the GOP.
No, not at all.
He is not married to any particular ideology or party.
Yeah.
He wants the crowds to be screaming in his favor. And when he realizes in his own little world that, and in his tiny, tiny mind, that the applause meter is going to break, if he says, you know, I've been
We're
talking to Ivanka about
everyone.
This, and
yeah.
I found out that actually, if we went with the single payer model, it would save a fortune,
right?
And it would cover everybody, and we have the votes. More importantly, so all in favor, say aye.
One thing that's really quietly happening that people are starting to pick up on. There was an article in Vox, Vox.com, mm-hmm. About a month ago now that I read that was really interesting. Was that the Republican Party? If you think back to the Reagan era, for instance, the
right.
Republican Party's equivalent in Europe was the Conservative Party.
Right.
You know, Ronald Reagan in
mm-hmm.
the U.S. equals Margaret Thatcher
exactly.
in the U.K., the Conservative Party, the sort of center-right, economically libertarian,
right,
pro-defense parties. And now more and more, you still have that wing of the Republican Party that sort of equates to the more center-right conservative parties in Europe. But more and more, you've got a growing wing of the Republican Party, and Donald Trump represents this, whose equivalent in Europe is not the center-right conservative parties, but those far-right UK independence parties, the sort of nativistic, populistic, anti-immigrant parties. The really interesting thing with that, and I
anti-establishment.
I've got that on my mind because Civitas, which is one of the more prominent conservative organizations in North Carolina, they've got their annual meeting coming up. Nigel Farage of the UK Independence Party is their keynote speaker this year.
Oh my goodness.
Francis DeLuca is very excited about that. They just sent out an email about it just a couple of days ago. But that's the level.
You know, that's what you want a keynote speaker to do.
Yeah.
This is the thing, you know, and we've talked about this some before.
But I mentioned that and I want to let you go.
Yeah,
but the reason
I
mentioned that is that those far right parties are actually surprisingly in favor of big national social programs. I mean, one of the main arguments behind Brexit, because they're not libertarian. They're populist, so they want strong government action.
The
UKIP is much more authoritarian
in the UK,
in its nativism.
Griping that the national health system was going to go broke.
But you remember the Brexit debate from last year where Farage was, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. I'm going with Farage because it sounds French,
funny. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that
Farage is running
him,
around saying, oh, well, if we leave the EU, then we'll have all this money left over and we'll be able to fund the healthcare system.
Right,
they had like big splash ads on buses and everything.
Just piles of money left over from the depression.
And then they voted for Brexit, and the next day they were out saying, "Well, maybe not."
Well, you know, it's nobody
sure. We were actually lying to you.
Actually, more complicated than anybody knew.
Right. But it's really interesting, and I think for that reason, someone like Donald Trump might be perfectly in favor of a national health system.
He might be. You know, he's gonna go where the applause is.
Yeah.
And that could be a really interesting development. And believe me, there is heightened anxiety among the GOP on the Hill.
There's heightened anxiety among just about everyone.
Well, I think among everybody, but I really think that the folks in what we would call the establishment GOP, most especially Paul Ryan. I mean, I think they actually do have an agenda, believe it or not. Laws that they want to pass and things that they want to do, and that they consider the taking my health insurance away is an accomplishment, but they. You know, they have things they want to do. And so far, it's not only Donald Trump who's done nothing in the last 100 days. They haven't gotten anything done either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's Congress, so you gotta spread that timeline out a little
while. But
they haven't done anything in a while.
Yeah, but you know what? They know what the window is for legislative achievement, and they know that it's closing.
Yeah.
They're about halfway through the can get something done window.
I still feel sorry for Paul Ryan. He did not ever want to be Speaker of the House.
Yeah, well, I don't feel that
awful
bad for
job
Paul.
Got thrust upon him, and he
poor
had,
Paul.
I feel sorry for him. I really do.
I think he should quit.
Okay.
I think he should quit, and he should invite Hillary Clinton to take the job for him, so that when these
she would have to be in the House of Representatives. Oh no, you don't.
You
that's
don't.
Right.
No,
yeah,
you
that's
don't.
That weird rule.
This is one of my favorite troll conversations on Facebook. Is that.
I just say to them,
just get Hillary into the speakership and then impeach the top two guys, and bang, she's president.
Yeah.
That really could happen.
Step three, profit.
And before you say, Gene, how ridiculous, that could never happen.
Really?
Let me just review some facts. No matter how ridiculous, of course it could happen.
That is
but,
true.
You know, these things are... I've been watching the news all week, as you and I do, and I'm really feeling higher blood pressure from the comments that the president made to Reuters yesterday about North Korea, saying we really, really might have a big conflict with North Korea. He's amping up his language about North Korea, which is tugging on Superman's cape in a manner of speaking. I mean, it's just not wise. It doesn't help anything. I think he believes it's a good cop, bad cop thing that he's doing. Mm-hmm. Tillerson is using more sophisticated language in the Security Council
today.
Well,
it's also the art of the deal kind of approach, right?
Yeah,
you start with a stronger position
and then
negotiate back.
Yeah, I think, you know, walking up and offending somebody in a real estate transaction is one thing. It might work in
it's
that kind of transaction.
It's a different story when it's
politics, yeah. But I really don't think it's terribly effective. I think a lot of people are very jangled by that. And it could be that the leader in North Korea is one of those people. I think it's so rare that when you're trying to solve problems, and the country of North Korea has serious problems, and if you're trying to solve problems, raising the temperature is almost never, I know Mike Krzyzewski doesn't believe this, but raising the temperature is almost never the solution.
Yeah.
Almost never.
Yeah. It's difficult. I was speaking with Gene Bolduc, by the way, Weekend Water Cooler, which airs every weekend here on WCHL. We really got to plug this weekend show because you've got a really
yes,
good guest.
Yes, I have a special
it's
guest.
Amazing
you know,
guest,
it's
the best
funny.
Guest
it's,
of it's all the guests.
Probably
it's
the best guest I've ever had. You know, Duke
such
has
a good
Coach
guest.
K, and I have Dr. K. So Dr. Aaron Keck is my guest on the water cooler this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about rhetoric and about symbols and about the Confederate flag, and it's I felt at least that it was a really special episode of our program, and I think it's going to be very helpful to our listeners to understand the greater context of what happens when you start dismantling something that we agree needs dismantling, which is white supremacy and privilege. But when you, as you take these things apart and you remove these symbols, you can have unintended consequences. And even though I think many of the people, if not all of the people involved in our current controversy, are probably really about roughly on the same side of this, I think that keeping the temperature down is always helpful.
How does one do that when it comes to a debate where you've got people on both sides whose blood is boiling over an issue like
that
this?
That is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. I'm the first to admit that. But I think of it, frankly, Aaron, as the same way you are effective, if you are, in handling a family squabble at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings are running high. Nobody likes that boyfriend that the college student brought home and whatever. And the point is, you know, just keep your wits about you. Be civil. Keep the name calling down. Don't attribute to other people what you think their motives are. You know, you're in charge of your feelings and your actions, but you're not really in charge of attributing to other people what's driving them to do what they do. If you listen more than you speak, you're probably going to reach understanding better. And, you know, you just have to realize that there are perspectives very different from your own that come to bear on solving a problem as a community and in the case of my example, as a family. I mean, if you have a family member who's abusive or has a drinking problem or whatever, it's a bigger thing than just somebody said something rude or embarrassing. So you have to look at the bigger problem, too.
I'm going to take that last minute and a half and just cut it out and send it to all of my
and
relatives.
Send it to everyone you know.
Everyone I know. Yeah,
you know
that's
what?
Really
Me
good.
Me too.
Yeah. It's and listening more than you speak, I think, is very important,
right.
First of all. And second of all, not assuming not making assumptions about what another person's motives are.
I mean, especially with people you don't know.
Right,
it's one thing for me to call out one of my siblings who I've known for 50 years and more.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to come to a meeting when you haven't been following, you know, what goes on with that board, or go to the county commissioners and say, oh, you guys are cowards. Really?
I
haven't seen you in the last 700 meetings, so please remind me who in the world are you and why do you think that?
So having just said that we shouldn't be assuming other people's motives, do we now have to go back and renounce the first 5 minutes of this conversation we were talking
probably.
About Donald Trump?
Yeah, we
I
probably
think so.
Do. Well,
yeah.
You know, actually, I mean, I feel like we know a lot about Donald Trump.
We do know a lot about Donald Trump. We've never met Donald Trump. I don't know what
That's
he would
true.
Be like in actual
That's
life.
That's true. But a person who lives out loud, as you do and I do, we live in the public domain and we have a certain accountability to people. And
Wait,
I think
do?
If you behaved like a fool in a restaurant, people would have an opinion about that.
I do feel myself driving a little bit better.
don't you?
I don't know if.
I know. It's like there's signs, it turns out, that say speed limit. There are limits.
Right?
Did you know that?
But I mean, I've got the. I don't have many bumper stickers on my car, but the ones that I do have, like just if you put the Venn diagram together, it's obviously me. Like I've got WCHL, DSI. Comedy theater,
this is
human
car.
Rights campaign equal sign,
right.
Stephen Ray Miller's Y'all Means Everyone bumper sticker.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
and those four together
that does give it away.
Kind of add up to me. So
yeah,
if you know who I am, you kind of know that that's my car.
Yeah, plus the one that says, this is Aaron's car.
I don't have that one. I don't have a vanity plate.
I'm going to get one that says Keckmobile.
Don't do that. Then you'll drive around all weird and people will blame me.
Avis by Aaron. Oh, man. Yeah, that's true.
Or there are a lot of Kecks around here, so maybe they'll just blame somebody else.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
True.
I'm not that Keck.
There you go.
Okay.
I'll wear that shirt. All right. Gene Bolduc, Weekend Water Cooler. We actually have to wrap up. We've been talking for 15 minutes. Weekend Water Cooler airs when?
Weekend Water Cooler airs tomorrow, Saturday at 12 noon. And you know, Aaron, it is the end of Poetry Month.
That is true.
And I do want to end on a light note because there have been some heavy subjects, you know, nuclear annihilation, et cetera.
And whatnot.
And light rail. And and so I wanted to offer you one of my favorite poems by Ogden Nash. It's called A Word to Husbands, but I really think this is good advice for everybody. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup. Whenever you're wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, shut up. And that's a wrap.
I love it. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.